Global HR News is on the air. This is Ed Cohen, publisher of GlobalHRNews.com, welcoming you to our show. Today is Friday, June 12. It's 1:30 p.m. here in California. I'm broadcasting to you from Old Town, San Diego, the birthplace of California. Global HR News on the air. The show is called Global People, Global Business. We're here to talk today with Nadine Vogel, the founder and president of Springboard Consulting. Nadine is speaking to us from the New York region, and we'll be right back with our show.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge. When we see people serving their country and one another, volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines, and the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Global people, global business, global people. That's the name of this radio show, coming to you from globalhrnews.com. Well, I'll tell you, this is a really interesting show for me, and I hope for you. We're talking with a highly intelligent, highly energetic person, Nadine Vogel, founder and president of a company called Springboard Consulting. Springboard works with national and global firms on how to appropriately market their products and services to people, now get this, who either have a disability or who have a child or other dependent with special needs. So she is going to talk to us today in a dialogue with me about how to support this segment of the population in the workplace through diversity, in work life, and, of course, with human resource initiatives. So, Nadine, welcome.
Thank you. Hello. How are you?
That's great today. Thank you for being with us. Tell us about this community. How big is it?
It's huge. It is now the largest. The disability community is now the largest minority market in the world.
Wow.
In the United States, it has actually surpassed the Hispanic population by 5%.
Double wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
So you also produce conferences and give awards. Would you tell us about that briefly?
Yes, we produce an event known as Disability Matters. Disability Matters is an event whereby corporations apply for awards in diversity, work life, or marketing as it relates to people with disabilities and their families. We have a team of nonprofit executives that look at the applications that come in and award them. But the beauty of this event is not just the awards. We bring together folks from corporate, the nonprofit sectors, government, and academia to really share best practices as it relates to each of these areas in supporting the segment of the population in the workplace.
Nadine, I happen to know something about you, that you're the real article, the genuine article, as they say in New York area, the genuine article. Authenticity is you. Nadine Vogel has personal involvement and experience within her family. Why don't you tell us about this, please?
Yes, I have two children who have special needs. My older daughter will be 18 this summer. She has an undiagnosed neuromuscular disorder. And my younger daughter, who will be 10 this summer, has a heart condition and some learning disabilities.
Well, bless you. So you have written numerous articles and have spoken on this topic, and as folks out there in the world listening to this show, you could tell Nadine has a powerful voice and actually creates inspiration for many people. Not to embarrass you, Nadine, but tell us what you did before you founded Springboard.
Before Springboard, I had been an officer at Metropolitan Life. I ran marketing, but probably more importantly, I created a division there known as MetDesk, MetLife's Division of Estate Planning for Special Kids. And it was a dedicated division that educated families on the legal and financial issues as it pertained to planning for the future, because the laws are actually different in financial and estate planning. And that program is still running. I think now it's in its 12th year. And it's an enormously powerful and supportive program for families who so desperately need that service.
Nadine Vogel has been recognized by others, and we're going to get into our interview in just a minute, but I want the audience to know, Nadine, that Fast Company magazine named you a Fast 50 innovator, one of the individuals whose achievements help change companies or society. And also, Working Mother magazine has listed you as a top person for helping create change in society. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, once again, within corporate America, and then we'll talk about the world.
Okay.
Are there, you know, you said it's a huge community. So say again, how big?
The disability community is now the largest minority market in the world. In the U.S., it surpassed the Hispanic population by 5%. In the workplace, in corporate America, it represents about 15% of corporate America's workforce today, whether known or not, is either an employee with a disability or an employee who has a child or dependent with special needs. And the reason I say known or not is because typically the only folks that the company would know about are those folks that have a visible disability and or have received an accommodation, a formal legal accommodation for support in the workplace. But if someone has an invisible disability or is not requesting accommodation, you typically would not know. And certainly, like in my case, if it's an employee who has children with special needs, unless they've brought them into the workplace or have said something, you wouldn't know that either, though it so seriously impacts their work-life situation.
I see. And in multinational companies, is this as big as it is in the U.S.?
It is huge on a multinational level, and one of the reasons, I mean, there's a number, but one of the reasons is that there are many countries that have legal quotas that companies have to meet on an annual basis for hiring people with disabilities. And when they don't meet those quotas, they pay some very significant fines to those local governments. So this is, in some countries, even bigger and more of an issue than it is in the United States.
Okay, so I think it's time to step aside now and look back on what we've been talking about. How would you define a disability?
Disability is defined in many ways, but if we look at the Social Security, so if we look at the U.S., and we look at the Social Security definition, this is a similar definition in many countries. For an adult, it's someone who has a limitation relative to a skill of daily living. And so, you know, that could mean something that causes the person to not be able to hold down a job. It could mean something with transferring. The person has difficulty transferring on their own from a chair to a desk, from the desk to someplace else. If someone has that difficulty, that, without an accommodation, could prevent them from working or having a full-time job. Disability is defined by physical disabilities, such as someone maybe who uses a wheelchair. It could be defined by a hearing or visual impairment. It could be defined in a developmental or cognitive way, probably something like you're familiar with, like autism or Down syndrome. So it has a lot of different definitions. But the important thing to know is that if someone says they have a disability, that you understand that what it really means is that they have some limitation relative to the skill of daily living.
So I assume there's some social laws. Are there laws connected with this?
There are. In the United States, we have the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. And what that really does is it ensures that folks can access and have full access to employment, to retail environments, to really any environment, that they are treated like anyone else. In the workplace, under the ADA, someone cannot be discriminated against because they have a disability. So what that means is if you're interviewing someone or you're considering someone for a relocation, perhaps, you cannot ask them about if they have a disability or if their disability is something that would perhaps inhibit them from relocating from one country to another. If the individual employee tells you about the disability and describes to you in ways in which that it would impact or interfere with something like that, then you can have a dialogue, but only if they bring it up first.
Is it okay to coach the employee to do so to avoid embarrassment?
No, it's never appropriate to coach or provide guidance to the employee unless the employee directly asks for it. And that's under the law. You cannot do that.
With the off the record here a little, well, it's nothing off the record broadcast. But I mean, unless somebody's got a gripe or something, wouldn't the employee just make it obvious that, look, I want to go on this assignment, but look at me, you know, are you equipped to deal with me doing this? I mean, isn't this realistic?
You know, the interesting thing is that the disability community has, in some cases, many similarities to the GLBT community in that it's a lack of comfort in disclosing, in coming out.
Say again what that is.
I'm sorry?
You said the GL what community?
The GLBT, the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual community.
I didn't know there was.
In the workplace, people have a fear of disclosing. Because if they come forward and say, you know, here's my situation, and therefore, their concern is that perhaps at some point that could be used against them. You know, we're having layoffs. Well, God, are they going to lay me off first because I said I have a disability and there's things I can't do? So there's a lot of concern and fear, rightly or wrongly, about doing that. Or this fear that the current management, senior management of a company really would support me and supports folks with disabilities, but if there's a reorganization tomorrow, will the next team coming in be as supportive and open? That also presents a problem even in folks requesting formal accommodations under the ADA. Sometimes an employee will be thinking, well, my manager is really supportive, so I think I can request the accommodation. Boy, I'm sure glad I don't work for this other manager in this other location because I know I wouldn't get the same kind of response or support. Now, that's not supposed to happen, but human nature does get in the way sometimes, and that does happen.
Well, we're talking with Nadine Vogel, and we're talking about a very interesting topic here about people with disabilities in the workplace and the disability community. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to find out about companies and best practices and how companies can be realistic about this and what others within the workforce should know about this. This is Ed Cohen, Global HR News, on the air in Global People, Global Business. We'll be right back.